Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So a couple of things happened this week. Amongst other things, the New Hampshire primary for the Democratic race happened, and you know, it basically happened what I thought was going to happen. And it also meant that a bunch of people basically dropped out because of it. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, let's be honest, we all kind of figured that was what was going to start happening once the stuff really started kicking in.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there's that one guy everybody thought was going to be the front runner, and it looks like he's not going to be the front runner, like, at all. And he somehow has managed to either he doesn't acknowledge it or he's got someone telling him bullshit. Hmm. And they're doing it by, you know, slipping dollar bills under the door. But we also had some other shit, too. Roger Stone actually got sentenced. We'll call it that. Of course, we got some bullshit from the Trump White House, more of the coronavirus, or the, we're just going to call it COVID-2019. I mean, COVID-19. Yeah. And yeah, we got a bunch of other shit, including some announcements for some reboots from Disney, including basically two live-action Disney properties that I honestly did not think would ever see the light of day again. Hmm. One of them including an actor that basically had been gone quiet for the last decade. But we'll be getting to all that and more on this exciting edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off as always. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, I've been playing some stuff, you know, PC Building Simulator, Code Shifter, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's kind of been my gaming for the week. You know, pretty much same old, same old. I'm waiting for Doom Eternal, although I've been, like, looking at you know, some previews and stuff, and like the more of it that I see, the less interested I am in it.
Why is that?
It's basically, it's now incredibly lore heavy.
Oh.
Yeah. There are now, like,
well, are we sure that that's just, that the game itself is going to present itself as lore heavy, or is this just the thing that the previews are doing?
Because there are full on, like, unskippable cutscenes.
Oh, well, I mean, the first game already had unskippable content. All right, yeah, I get what you mean, though. Yeah.
It's like it's now going into the territory of, okay, this is getting distracting. Yeah, there's just, I don't know, there's something is not adding up for me. Maybe it'll gel once I actually play it, but it's like, yeah, I have concerns about it. That's mm-hmm. where I'll leave it. So, yeah, next month, I guess, we'll figure out whether it's good or not. Then, yeah, so we'll do that. Apart from that, well, I've been keeping current on Star Trek Picard, which was, yeah, it was really good this week. Let's just say he's assembling a very interesting crew at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched this show yet, I recommend you, like, you know, track it down. If you have to subscribe to CBS All Access to do it or whatever. Yeah, go ahead and do that. It's worth it. I mean,
so it's basically Spokoden by way of Star Trek.
Kinda. It's not that grand a scale yet, but I don't imagine it's going to get that. But it's there's a lot, very varied cast of characters and some old faces returning, which I wasn't expecting. Cool. So yeah, worth it. Apart from that, I'm watching, like, random YouTube stuff. I basically spent 20 minutes today watching a video about the color brown, which was way more interesting than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You also finally watched Has-Been after me incessantly pestering everybody on the fucking site.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to become important later, so I figured I might as well get it watched. It's Has-Been Hotel. I watched that. And this was one of those like internet cartoons where the first couple of minutes I was questioning my life choices.
Yeah. The first that musical number at the very beginning is like really is like a super fucking downer.
Yeah.
But it's important to the plot, so
yeah. And it picks up quite a bit.
And after that, it's like, oh my god, this is so fucking funny.
Yes. Very, very dark humor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I think it was, I think you said that the one thing you really liked was Alistair, the radio demon.
Alistair, the radio demon. He is a nutcase, I would say. Does psychopath, likes, seeing other people suffering for his own entertainment, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jambalaya. He apparently really likes Jambalaya.
Yeah.
Did you notice, by the way, there's a bunch of context clues that the episode gives you, but you probably figured it out, but may or may not have figured it out that Alistair may be from New Orleans, and it's mostly not just the Jambalaya, but, like, the whole voodoo thing that he does.
Yeah. So I highly like Brennan.
Was there any character in there you didn't like?
Initially, I didn't like Charlie.
Oh, it's because she's far too. She's like a misplaced Disney princess.
Yeah. Which, as I started to think about it, started to make a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's apparently like Princess of Hell.
Yeah.
Well,
she is Lucifer's daughter.
Yeah. So,
by the way, I want to point out Lucifer, not Satan.
Mm-hmm.
In the Has-Been universe, Lucifer and Satan are two different people.
Yeah.
Lucifer is the guy that you saw in the picture that's like all dressed in white. That's him.
Yeah.
Satan hasn't yet to make an appearance, but.
Well, I'm sure he will. So.
Yeah. So Charlie was like. Okay, so what was at the point where he was like, okay, yeah, I can actually stand Charlie?
It was right about the point where she went and did the TV interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or started to show off her, well, made her pitch, and then everybody was like, yeah, that was shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, well, does it look like you think that I got your pen, huh? Bitch! And then
a bunch of bad shit happens. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then they start biting, and suddenly Tom Trench is just on fire for some reason.
Yeah.
Which I figure, you know, in hell, that's just something that just happens. You just spontaneously combust on occasion.
Yeah.
Kind of get used to it after a while.
Yeah. So,
But yeah, anyway. Just so you know, there's also other – Vizzy's got other stuff on that channel. If you ever get a chance, watch the Hell of a Boss pilot.
Yeah.
It's like half as long. It's more like an episodic comedy.
Hmm.
And – oh, yeah. And Brandon Rogers and the dude who did the voice for Invader Zim are in it.
Hmm.
So
– we'll probably go through
it. And trust me, when you hear it and you're just like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's Zim. It's like absolutely, totally him. But yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah, it is. From what I've seen so far, definitely looking forward to it.
So. All right. So, what else?
Yeah, and because I'm an idiot, I started rereading The Wheel of Time.
Stupid this, bastard.
This will be...
Phil.
Five times.
Now. Yeah. Dude, we got to get you a new book series. Like, really badly.
I got the TV show coming up, so I got to get prepared.
How more prepared can you be?
I think that ship already sailed.
Well, it was either that or get into the 75 book, the Frontier Saga by Rick Brown. So,
oh God, that thing.
Yeah. Fortunately, those books are short, so I might end up being able to do both in the same year. Who knows? I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, so that's been me. How about you, Pat?
I've just been recovering from this amazing bronchitis I've had.
Holy crap.
And
yeah, was described as spectacular bronchitis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of gummed up from it, so that's been interesting. I've been producing as much of my hockey content as I can in light of that, but I occasionally have to mute myself to yak something up, which has been sad to say. I'm getting used to it. I'll put it that way.
You got like a cup or something?
No, I just got a garbage right next to me. I'm not fancy. But other than that, I've been cranking out hockey content, and for my expansion project, we are now 4 games away from the trade deadline. So I'm trying to figure out if there's any last-minute fine-tuning I need to do for that. And I'm debating whether or not I should just stream the trade deadline, because it is kind of like a mini-game in NHL 20. You get a set amount of time where you can reach out to teams, or they can contact you about trades. And you just have to get everything that you need done in, as you know, I forget how long it is, but it's a, is it 30 minutes, 60 minutes? I'm not sure. But once that's done, it's done. And all of the rosters are locked in for the stretch run. And so I'm not sure if I'm going to do a video for that or if I'm going to stream it. I don't really have any major deals in the works that I think I need to do, but you know, we'll see. I've definitely put the question to my Discord channel or my Discord server, so we'll see where it goes.
All right.
Kind of between a rock and a hard place with a pending free agent center who's just been tearing it up for me.
Damn.
So.
All right.
There's definitely some intrigue.
All right. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I got my new phone.
All right.
Finally, one that doesn't die in a couple hours. Which actually at this point, I think that I last charged it at about, I think I took it off about 6 o'clock this morning. About 14 hours later, it's at 77%.
Wow.
Which is, and I've been using Bluetooth and all that kind of stuff, so it's been surprisingly good about not dying over the dumbest things.
That's a nice
The only, yeah, the only issue I had was, I guess, despite activating it, the SIM card never got activated. Through some weird bug, so I had to call the support and get them to get that fixed today. So now everything should actually be good and usable. But yeah, it's on Android 9, which I think I was on 7. It's like, holy shit, there's a lot of stuff that's changed with this. It's a lot of it's just like stuff is a lot of stuff is different, but it has a lot of neat little features. And also the weird thing is the power and volume buttons are reversed from what my other phone was, so it's going to take me a while to get the memory fixed instead of hitting the top button and turning it up or down or whatever when I'm trying to turn it off, that kind of thing. But it's really nice as a phone, so it's nice to get that situated. No longer have to be doing this dumb dance of trying to constantly charge it to be able to keep using it for a few more hours. Which means now, like, all the apps actually work. Which is the big issue. Like, I guess battery was shorted and other parts of it was not working properly. So whenever apps would try to use certain things, they would just shut off the phone or the app would just close immediately. And it's like, that's not really how phones should work, I don't think. But yeah, this one's going to be pretty good for a while, especially if this battery keeps up for the next few years at least. But yeah, I watched To All the Boys I've Loved, P.S. I Still Love You, I think is the full title for that. Mm-hmm. It's the sequel to the rom-com that Netflix put out last year. So it continues the story of Lara Jean and Peter. They get new challenges to their relationship, all that kind of stuff. And it ends up being a pretty good follow-up. Also been watching Marvel's Runaways on Hulu, which is the show that is – I'm still wondering where it's going to tie into the Marvel stuff at some points. Because right now it's basically about a bunch of kids whose parents are part of this group called Pride. And even now, I'm still learning things about the group at episode 9. And the interesting stuff so far has just been seeing the different people learn what their powers are. Because there's one girl that just glows and has some powers tied to that. Like she figures out she can fly because she gets drunk and falls off a building. Sitting on like the ledge of the building on the roof kind of thing. The one girl gets real strong. She can just beat stuff up. The other girl, she can kind of talk to this dinosaur that her parents had genetically created.
Yep.
Like a velociraptor kind of dinosaur. He's able to kind of talk to it and it'll listen to her. Which is a very weird thing, especially when she actually takes it out of the house.
Yeah.
Especially when they're trying to be stealthy and it's just jumping on the roof. It's like, that's not a great idea there if you're trying to sneak around. And I guess the others haven't really gotten into powers just yet. The one boy is able to kind of create gadgets, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so far he's just come up with this weird glove. They kind of shoot some sort of force power out of it. Though then you get a little wrinkle of his dad makes this weird like future television thing. They think it's broken, but when they leave the room, you kind of see like a bit of a scene of something that happens way in the future. So yeah, so far it's been really good. Despite the name, nobody's run away just yet. But I'm excited to keep watching it, and hopefully it did well enough that they make more of it. Because it'd be a shame to kind of throw all this out with just one season. Also just still been watching more King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great stuff there. Finish up the Megalo Mart getting blown up. That was a whole great bit. And the whole thing where Peggy and Hank go skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy's chute doesn't open.
Yep.
She just crashes into the ground.
But luckily, the mud is like really soft, so she survives.
Yeah. And just a lot of great stuff since then with the... I think one of the last episodes I watched is when Boomhauer gets accidentally committed to the insane asylum. Bill tries to go get him out and ends up checking himself in. Same with Dale. They all have to try and figure a way to get out without Hank knowing. I think he ends up saving them anyway.
Dale and Bill arguably belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think when they're all getting out, they're basically like, Dale, you should still take these meds.
Yeah.
But yeah. Still, lots of great stuff. Yeah. A lot of great stuff. I think I think they're coming to a point where Bobby and Con Jr.'s relationship starting to get to some places as they had the big episode where she gets her period,
mm-hmm.
which is all great for her being in the care of Hank and Peggy, who do not want to talk about anything like that. Hank having to deal with it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. These episodes are just great
mm-hmm.
where they're at right now. Definitely be continue watching it. Been streaming a good bit. Sunday I played Bioshock 2 because that was the 10th anniversary. That was pretty good. The main problem I had is just with the stream itself, OBS just started over the past couple of weeks, like taking up lots of resources to run when it really shouldn't be doing that. And so that stream, I haven't uploaded it because it's kind of a mess. But the game itself is pretty good. I haven't played really any of the Bioshock games more than like, 20, 30 minutes. This one has been pretty good, but especially kind of trying to get used to how a first person, it's not really a shooter so much as just a first person kind of action adventure game controls from 10 years ago, especially when it's not necessarily focused on being a shooter. So I think one of the first things it is like, oh, I got this drill. This is pretty cool. And I ran out of juice right away. So you get you have to pick up fuel for it. And it's like, all right, well, I'm not using this again until I really need to. So I can build it up again. And then you can just drill people and just destroy them. The thing that I fixed the OBS issues, uninstalling it, reinstalling it, and just kind of doing they have a wizard for the settings that you can kind of go and like, hey, change all these settings to favor, you know, frame rate or resolution, that kind of thing. So I did that, and it's back down to where it should be. Like, I think I was using like 60% of my CPU power for that versus afterwards where it was like 20%, which is much nicer. But then I think when I get my tax refund, I'm going to start working on building a new PC. It's like it's getting to be that time.
It's a good time to do it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was looking at prices for things, and I think I'm going with AMD for that stuff. Cause,
don't feel bad, everybody.
Especially looking at CPU. Looking at CPU stuff. I think one of their top CPUs, the 2700, I think I'm going to look up my list real quick. It was on sale for $170, and the MSRP is $340. And they'll give you like Borderlands 3 or The Outer Worlds with it, along with like a code for Game Pass. I was like, damn. And anything that's even close to that on the Intel side is like $700, $1,000, like ridiculous. I was like, well, I know what I'm going to do here. And I was like, all right, then I have to get a specific motherboard for that. I have to figure out what graphics card kind of thing. And so far, it's not looking too bad on price. Though I might go down on CPU a little bit, unless another sale happens around the time that I'm going to be getting this ordering stuff done. Yeah. But yeah, starting to work on the build, trying to figure out what pieces. I'm going to go with like 16 gigs of RAM. Probably stick the 8 from this PC into that as well.
Won't be able to.
Oh.
You have a what, an i7-7700? Intel i7 in yours right now?
Yeah.
Depending on the I'm not sure if you have DDR3 or DDR4 in yours.
I think it's 4.
Okay, then you probably could.
Yeah. I'll do more research on that stuff when time comes, but for now, kind of just adding things that look interesting and seeing how it all... See how the money stuff turns out.
Yeah. Get in touch. It's not like I spend, you know, my entire day looking at PC enthusiast sites or anything.
That and you've gotten all the way through a PC building simulator.
Yeah.
Just, oh, here's a new note. Email about the Monk trilogy or whatever the fuck shit's in that.
Oh, yeah.
All that weird shit's in that game. Yep. But yeah, that's one of the projects I'm going to be having here in the next month or so. Yeah, the other thing I did streaming, I finished up Dogchild, which has a great / terrible ending.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's ridiculous. You get to a good scene, I think, after a little bit in, where they have a bunch of these guards show up and you realize it's all one or two models. So it's like, your wolf buddy decides to call all their wolf clone buddies. It's clones versus wolves fighting, and then they just run off. Then you have to do this real bad sequence of platforming on ice that's on it's like these these big ice platforms on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I did not die on those this time. I think I recorded the video from the original time I did it, which I died a ton of times. And I think just because I have the physical memory of all that, I managed to avoid the issues I had this time. I think I only died there because I didn't realize a bunch of enemies spawn right at the end. And managing that when you can easily miss them at is a big issue. So I kind of went back and basically took my time getting close enough so I could start hitting enemies and taking them out from further away. Then the big issue becomes the final fight because you have to take on two enemies, one of which just can, right at the beginning of the fight, just take out half of your dog's health, which if either one of you dies, you have to start over again. And so eventually, I probably died like 6 or 7 times on that until I eventually got a weird moment where the bug just kind of stuck in one spot. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I was able to get a couple hits in there and then just left with the actual bad guy and took him out pretty easily. Then you get the cutscene. It's like, hey, your parents are still alive. Bye. Mm. She's like, oh, they're in this weird chamber. You don't know where it's at or anything. It's like, all right, that's a weird cliffhanger for a game that's never going to get a sequel or any sort of satisfactory ending. Yeah, that was fun. Then I started Dreams, their campaign, which is called Artstream, and it's pretty good so far from what I played of about an hour in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's about a musician who's kind of having regrets about things that happened when he was younger, and kind of coming to terms with some of that stuff. But along the way, it presents a lot of interesting ways of turning that stuff into games. There's one bit where you're on a train that's going to crash, and you have to kind of adventure style figure out ways to wake up your bandmates and try and warn them and eventually get to the front of the train and stop it, that kind of thing. There's some dialogue choices that I don't think it really matters in the end, but visually, that stuff all looks really nice. And then there's like alternate, like dream sequence, I guess you could call it, where you're playing more of an action platformer that works out pretty well. You can play it with two players, I think. But if you're just playing it solo, you can just switch between the characters as you need them. One has a hammer that you can use to swing and do all that kind of stuff. And the other one has a gun that use the right stick to shoot, like a dual stick shooter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Works out pretty well. Seems like a pretty cool campaign so far, and a good way of kind of introducing a number of ideas to people that maybe hadn't figured that stuff out on their own. So yeah, definitely gonna be playing some of that tomorrow night. Playing more of the stuff people have made, especially stuff that's got nominated for the Impy Awards. And yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, so first things first, one of the things I did recently is I did doing a trial for PS Now. Getting a chance to play a bunch of like old games I never got a chance to play, like Mirror's Edge, for example, or Journey, which I also never got to play. Also, you know, some other stuff like like Battle Chasers, Night War, and you know, stuff like that. Unfortunately, the PS Now, it buffers a lot. Like, it, you know, the games like, you know, like Mirror's Edge and like Fear, you have to actually like stream. You know, you can't actually like download them. You have to actually stream them through PS Now. And man, it sucks.
Wi-Fi.
I mean, when Yeah. I mean, it when it works fine, but, well, yeah.
Yeah, when it doesn't, it's just...
stutters to a halt, basically. Mm. But other than that, I've been still playing Axiom Verge. I just got the grappling hook. Mm. And that thing is a bitch to learn how to use correctly. because, let's just say there's been a lot of false starts. Mostly because, for one thing, that thing, like, goes up and down far too quickly for you to, like, really gauge it. Mm. Especially when it comes to, like, distance, to, like, how far it can go. That being said, now I gotta go do a bit of backtracking, because that's like 50% of Axiom Verge is backtracking.
Yep.
But, you know, that's fine. It's still a great game regardless. And I'm also still playing Disco Elysium. And I finally got to talk to the guy who's the head of the local union, and he's basically this gigantic wall-eyed dude who is totally fucking crooked. he's not even trying to hide it. He basically has his hand in just about everything in the city, and the police. Well, they don't have a police, they have a citizens militia, but it's the police. In the local economy, in the government, in, like, the corporation that they're currently negotiating with, and a lot of this. Something else I need to bring up, because, okay, so you might be thinking, some of you who probably listen to this thinking, wait, so what the hell took you so long to get to that guy? Well, in order to get to him, you first have to get through this guy named Measurehead. And Measurehead is basically this giant, if this was our world, he would basically be like, Haitian or Burkinab or Senegalese, something like that. But basically he's a dude who is basically a Senegalese supremacist. And, like, he basically, like, parrots, like, all that, like, white nationalist bullshit. But you're thinking, it's like, but he's a black guy. Why is he, you know, parroting all that shit? Because by some weird-ass troll logic, he's come to believe that the Senegalese are the new superior race and will become the ones that will eventually destroy the white people. And he basically looks down on you, granted, which is easy to do because the dude's like 8 feet tall. And he's like, he calls you like the ham sandwich race because you're white. And it's so fucking, it's one of the best trolls I've ever seen, because it takes all of that alt-right bullshit and has it come out of the mouth of this guy. And it's just, it's so fucking good. It is so funny. But basically what happened is I finally got to where I was able to physically get strong enough that I was able to kick his ass. Hmm. And then I was finally able to talk to the union guy. There you go. It's fun shit. This game still finds new ways to surprise me. Hmm. Other than that, reading as usual. I've been reading The Crying of Lot 49 by Thomas P. Shawn. Those of you, you know, if you, like, went to, you know, you had to do your college literature course, you may know who Thomas P. Shawn is. He's the guy who wrote Gravity's Rainbow. He also wrote some other, like, giant bricks, like Mason and Dixon, Against the Day, stuff like that. There was a movie that came out a few years ago called Inherent Vice that was based on one of his books. Basically, The Crying of Lot 49 is, like, about this woman named Oedipus Moss who lives... she's, like, a housewife who lives in 1964 in California, who finds out that her ex-boyfriend has died, and basically she's the only one that can legally claim his estate. So she goes there, and she goes through his stamp collection, and she finds out about a supposed conspiracy between two rival private mailing companies that may have managed to encompass the entire world. And the fun thing about the book is it never really tells you if this is actually a thing happening or if it's just a figment of her imagination. Because it mentions early in the book that she's taking some kind of medication, and it never really, like, tells you specifically what kind of medication it is. It could be implied that it's, like, antipsychotics, or it could just be something for, like, anxiety or something. But what happens is she starts, like, seeing, like, patterns and things and clues and stuff, and like she starts like seeing various little like acronyms and stuff. Like, for example, she starts seeing the waste disposal people, and she starts noticing that people look like they're depositing like letters into waste baskets. And so like one of the, like, you know, private mailing companies that are supposedly caught part of this conspiracy is called Tristero, and so she starts to think that waste is an acronym for We Await Silent Tristero's Empire. Or like she encounters like a poison label, and there's like the word death etched on it, and she interprets that as saying don't ever antagonize the horn, because Tristero's symbol is like a single knotted muted trumpet. It's fucking weird shit. But it's good. It's good, weird shit. Other than that, Netflix, I've finally watching the last season of BoJack Horseman. And if it's not good. Only about halfway through it, but I am liking what I'm seeing. That's about it. We got, anything, anybody want to add anything else before we move on?
No, I'm good.
No?
No.
All right. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, just for today, I wanted to sort of briefly flash back to something that was a big part of my childhood. So, I think it was probably parts of your childhoods as well. And I think it's kind of like just shows like how far we've come, specifically in the gaming department and specifically in like handheld gaming. So you guys, we all had like a Game Boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regular Nintendo Game Boy.
Yeah.
And you know, you remember back in the day, like that was like the best shit ever. You know, the only thing that was, like, maybe better was, like, the Game Gear. I mean, not Game Gear, the Game... Yeah, the Sega Game Gear.
Yeah.
And it was shit. I mean, yeah, it had all those colors, but it basically took, like, 8 batteries, and the sound chip was just god-awful. Like, legit worse than the fucking Game Boy one was. And so, like, for us, that was, like, the pinnacle of handheld gaming, because, you know, because it was full motion.
Mm-hmm.
I bring that up because there was only one other alternative that you had for handheld gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Electronics.
I thought that was where you were going.
Okay. So any of you who've ever played Smash Pad that's our website. I meant Smash Brothers. I've been drinking, can you tell? If you've ever played Super Smash Brothers, you may have noticed that one character that's called Mr. Game & Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Game & Watch, for those of you who don't know, was a line of electronic game handheld games that were made by Nintendo. And they were basically, I guess the term is LED?
Yeah.
Is that the proper term? Because
they were segmented LCDs.
Yes,
real technical
LCDs. Thing. Okay, sorry, I had it LEDs, but yeah. But basically, what these were is they were segmented, like he said, LCDs. They were essentially little electronic spots on the screen that would basically form like a static image. And usually what would happen is that all of these games would have like a set stack of image. And usually if you like pressed like all the buttons on the contraption, you could see like what all of the images were at once. Mm-hmm. 'Cause these were not like full motion or like, you know, they didn't have full range of movement. They were basically a group of static images that mimicked animation. So for example, like say, you know, there was so one of the Game & Watches involved you being like a dude trying to work as a short order cook in like a diner and trying to get like pancakes over to the customers. And like basically there would be like frames of like your little Game & Watch dude and the pan and like the pancakes and stuff you're trying to balance. And then, you know, there would be like the images over to the side of like the bar and the dude who's like giving you the orders and everything. And that was basically it. And basically each little image would like light up for a brief moment, and then to simulate movement, it would go over to the one that's next to it, and so on and so on. And that's all well and good, and those things were actually genuinely good. But those aren't the ones we're talking about. No, we're talking about Tiger Electronics. And the reason Tiger Electronics stands out is because they managed to actually make deals with like major gaming IP holders to make these really, really shitty versions of that were vaguely resembling of the properties they were copying. Probably, I think the one that most people remember, my age especially, is the Street Fighter one.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, did you ever play this?
I'm sorry, what was that? I was coughing up a bit.
Oh, that's the reason you went mute. Okay. The Tiger Electronics, the Street Fighter thing. You remember that?
I didn't have the Street Fighter one, but I had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll note he said a whole bunch of them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So basically the Street Fighter one, it was basically, there was the one background. It was the, pretty sure it was M. Bison stage, the yeah. temple. With that
green, it's one of the coolest looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the one with the green bell in the background.
Yes.
That I didn't know was a bell for like over 10 years until I saw like a shot of the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, it's a bell. It's a bell. It's hanging from the arch up at the top, which you couldn't really see because the fucking energy bars were blocking it out. But whatever. And then it would be Ryu, and I think the other guy was Bison. Was the other guy supposed to be Bison? I can't remember.
Mm. It was Guile.
Oh, it was Guile. That's yeah. right. And basically, it's like, you know, and you got to remember, this was back before, you know, I think that, like, at this point, Street Fighter II, the only places you could get it, you know, were on the Genesis or the Super Nintendo, and those were, like, outside of the arcade.
Oh, Turbo Duo, but that yeah, didn't make it over here.
Yeah. Again, we're talking about American markets mostly yeah. here. Mm. And it basically would kind of mimic the gameplay because, like, yeah, Ryu could, like, do his hurricane kick and he could do his Hadouken. I don't think he could do the Dragon Punch, though. And Guile could do, like, his Flash Kick. And I think he could do the Sonic Boom. I'm not sure.
Yeah, those are the only two moves he had, though.
Yeah, but the thing was, and the thing is, these things were ass to try and control.
Yeah,
because the way the technology worked, it wasn't so much that you were using a D-pad to move a character or press a button to have a character do something, as much as it was a mere suggestion.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
I do have to say, though, even as limited as they were, some of those games were actually pretty solid.
Oh, they were, but usually it wasn't this kind.
Yeah.
Usually it was the ones that tended to stick to, like, a really simple idea and just stick with it.
Yeah, the pinball was amazing.
Which one?
Pinball?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the pinball one was great, but, I mean, that one's easy to do because it's fucking pinball. Meanwhile, in this one, we're talking about a full-on fighting game that is considered to be the pinnacle, the apex of fighting games in video gaming history. And you're
not going to translate.
No, it's not going to translate at all. I think there was also a Mortal Kombat one that was made as well.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, there was.
I never played that one, and I'm kind of glad I did. Didn't. Because I have heard bad shit about it. But then you also had ones based on, like, Disney properties. So, like, one I played a whole lot when I was a little kid was because it was the thing my babysitter had was the Little Mermaid one. And that one was basically you having Ariel, like, collect a bunch of things and then trying to avoid Ursula. And then, like, at the end to finish the thing, you get to take control of that ship that, you know, stabs into Ursula. And you have to do it, like, three times or shit like that. And then there was, like, there was also ones that were, like, related to, like, sports. And there was also, like, toys stuff, too. I think there was, like, a G.I. Joe one. And
I had the Outrun one.
Yeah, there was an Outrun.
It was shit.
Yeah, there was Outrun. I think there was a couple of Sega properties that they did, actually. And then, you know, they actually fucking bootlegged these things, too. No kidding. So, like, if you go into over to, like, the Chinese market, there's, like, bootleg ones called, like, I think it's called, like, Street Hero. And it's... The characters kind of mimic the actual characters, but they don't really.
Yeah.
So, like, for one of them is basically Guile, but it's with Vegeta's hair.
Yeah.
Because why not? In the reality, I think it was, like, a game for, like a tie-in to, like, a Kung Fu movie or something. But, yeah, and... Again, I have to remind people, at this point in time, there was literally only one, like, the other alternative we had, as far as handheld gaming was concerned, was the fucking, like what I said, it was the Game Boy, which is pretty much the one that managed to last the longest, and the Game Gear, which was a fucking disaster, and expensive as hell.
Well, there was the Lynx, which was even more of a disaster because nobody bought it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Game Gear itself wasn't the disaster. It was the battery life.
Yeah. It took twice the amount of batteries that it took for the fucking Game Boy to run. So, yeah, whenever you're like... So I just want to remind all the younger people who are listening, whenever you're on your iPhone playing one of your phone games or... You know, you're out with your Switch and you can, like, play games on there. Shed a tear for us older folk, because this is the shit we had to deal with when we were your age.
Yep.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
You know, compare the M2 version of Virtua Racing to pretty much any attempt at racing.
Back then, yeah. That
Tiger put out.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been work, you know. I mean, that's not the only like handheld gaming that existed. There's more primitive like that electronic football game from like what was it like the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, with the little red lights.
Yeah. And that's the way it was, and we liked it. I mean, I assume they did. I wasn't around then, but yeah. Anyway, okay, so. Now that that's over with, we now move on to the show proper, and as always, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our assholes of the week is the United States Department of Justice, because Roger Stone, you guys remember our old friend Roger Stone, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to forget.
We all wish we could forget. Well, he was actually sentenced this week. It wasn't a sentence, it was a sentence recommendation. That's what was happening. The Department of Justice had originally suggested that he be given 7 to 9 years for the charges that were that he was found guilty of. Which, to be honest, I kind of think is still light considering the shit he did. But, you know, the idea that he'd be going to jail at all is a treasure in and of itself. And then, apparently, our president found out because Then the Department of Justice turned around and decided, oh, no, actually, we're going to actually lower his sentence.
Yeah.
And because of that, all four of the federal prosecutors actually quit in protest.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, this is the part where I'd be screaming, butter emails or something like that, but... Nope, God damn it.
That ship has well and truly sailed at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah, after Trump was acquitted, I think he's decided he's going to go full-on despot.
Mm-hmm.
Because that certainly seems to be what's happening right now, and this is just one sign of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably not even the most egregious example this week. It's just the one that probably had the most reach.
Hmm.
But yeah, William Barr is actively interfering in our in the judicial process just to appease King Donald the Mad.
Mm-hmm.
All
of a sudden, my concerns about the election I raised last week don't seem so unfounded now.
No, they don't. They don't. Just FYI, could you, if we ever decide that we need to flee to Canada as refugees, could you hold us up for a couple weeks?
Yeah, we'll be good.
Okay, awesome. All right, now, but fortunately, to get that taste out of our mouths, we've got our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is the filmmakers of Parasite, which won the Oscar for Best Picture this week.
Yeah, kind of it should upset. Have.
Yeah, as it should have, because it's an amazing fucking movie.
Yeah. I guess the first time we had a foreign film in the running for it.
Yeah, it is. First time foreign film in the running for it and to win the award in one fell swoop. So
yeah.
But
yeah, it was nice to see that happen. It was like one of those underdog things that people were like, oh, maybe it will win, maybe.
Yeah,
that'd be nice because there was some definite Oscar bait with like Once Upon a Time being a movie about Hollywood.
Yeah,
it seemed like oh, hey,
I mean, it was a Tarantino flick, and it's a good one.
Of course, it loses to a movie that is whose director is inspired who's been promoted by Tarantino before.
Yeah,
Tarantino. Yeah, because Tarantino generally like every year would put out like here's a list of like foreign films you should check out.
Mm-hmm.
Would often recommend, you know, Korean movies and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, you got done in by his own.
Yeah.
But
I think Tarantino is probably cool with it.
But, yeah. But yeah, then another nice thing is like if you looked at I think interviews they were doing before they won.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of white people like asked me, like, well, what about making this movie in English?
Like, fuck no!
Yeah, he's like, a lot of times I saw, like, the interpreter they had is like, is that really your question? Mm-hmm. Just ask them, and they're like, yeah, no. We wouldn't do that. And, of course, this thing winning, you know, it's one of the great anime debates of the internet for the last 20-some years.
Dubs.
Subs versus dubs.
Mm-hmm.
Now that went mainstream, because Parasite won.
Yeah. Is it really that hard to read subtitles? Seriously.
Maybe for people that don't have any experience in that, because they're privileged enough to have perfect hearing and sight.
Yeah, for being.
But everybody else that has, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I get that, but there is, like, a...
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of privilege to it, of people that just have good eyesight and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they never want to use it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think most other people are like... You know, when you're watching stuff at home or whatever, it's nice to have, you know, the text there so you know exactly what's being said, even if you're, you know, looking away for a second or whatever.
Yeah. Honestly, though, this is one of those movies where they could get, like, a really good, solid dubbing cast if they could.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've done it. There have been some movies I've seen before that were foreign films that got English dubs and did it really well, like... Ichi the Killer, for example, is a really good example. Audition. Yeah. Pretty much anything by Takashi Miike.
Yeah, Disney's handling of Studio Ghibli stuff was pretty good usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this kind of stands on its own.
Yeah.
Especially when the director was basically saying, like, you know, we made this as a Korean movie and didn't, you know, do any dubbing or anything because we thought this was a Korean story, and then realized, no, this is a concern that everybody has.
Yeah, it's far more universal than he originally anticipated. Because Parasite, okay, so just real quick for those who haven't seen the movie yet, I'm not going to spoil it or anything, but basically the basic premise is that there's this family of this poor family in Korea who managed to – basically they managed to trick a more affluent family into getting to work for them and what they end up doing is they – you know, but by basically like posing as other people. And I think at one point they actually start like living in the basement. And then about halfway through the movie, it suddenly turns into a thriller, a very dark one at that. And the thing is, the movie is like the movie and the movie's plot is very specific to what is going on in South Korea right now. The wealth gap in South Korea is insane. Even by American standards. And yeah, there's like a whole, there's actually like a phrase in the Korean, language they use now, which basically translates to Hell Korea. It's basically referring to just the incredibly insane widespread poverty that's all over Korea right now. South Korea, and somehow the movie just managed to tap into the zeitgeist. And the thing is, this movie didn't just win Best Picture; it won like
Best Picture, directing.
It actually won the most
international feature.
Mm-hmm. It actually won the most awards at the Oscars this year.
Original screenplay.
Mm-hmm. And the international feature film. Yeah. So it got both Best Picture and Best International Feature Film. That's pretty incredible.
I think this is the first year they called it international feature versus foreign film.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of works for this one because, again, the themes of this movie were so universal.
Yeah.
It tapped into something that everybody could get to. I also liked how, you know, for those who don't know, Bong Joon-ho, the director, he actually gave his acceptance speech entirely in Korean, which apparently some people didn't like because they're assholes.
Oh, man, he spoke his native language.
Native language, yeah.
What an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Comes here and ain't speaking American.
That he wasn't talking shit about them or something.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, so good on him.
It's not like they were going to do the work to figure out what he was saying.
Yeah, the I think among other winners was American Factory won for Best Documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taika Waititi won for Best Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, for what was it, Jojo the Rabbit?
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Hair Love won animated short film,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think, yeah. For the record, something you also got to point out, part of the reason this movie also got a lot of attention over here is that they kind of advertised the hell out of it over here.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in order to get considered for the Oscars, you kind of have to campaign for it a little bit. He did that a little bit, but not as much as you normally would. And yet, you know, he still had, like, that massive hurdle ahead, and the movie still won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also one of those movies that very much is a word-of-mouth movie.
Yeah.
Just tell people, like, don't watch any trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read anything. Just go watch it.
Yeah. By the way, for those who don't know, Bong Joon-ho is also the guy who did Snowpiercer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've seen his work before. So you already know the dude's an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, good job on Bong Joon-ho. You definitely deserve it. Parasite's an amazing movie. All right. So, now with that out of the way, we got to do the proper show proper. And first and foremost, we have to discuss the current Democratic nomination process and the primary races going on. So we had the New Hampshire primary this week, and a couple of things happened there. First and foremost, Joe Biden, on top of finishing in, what was it, like fifth place?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty far down.
He called a woman a, quote, lying dog-faced pony soldier, he claimed that it's supposed to be, like, from, like, a John Wayne movie.
Which is definitely an old man thing to reference.
Yeah.
Man, and Howard Dean was done for, yeah!
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was, yeah, it is. I was like, did this dude just, like, stroke out or something? What the hell?
No, he just old manned.
Yeah, he just old manned and basically left everyone out. It's like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
Like, but really the big news was the who ended up winning the primary, and that was Senator Bernie Sanders.
Mm.
Yeah,
another close one with Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
25.6% for Bernie to 24.3%
mm-hmm.
for Pete Buttigieg.
Top tier forming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the surprise was number three at Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah, which a lot of people did not expect to see.
Yeah.
Which I got to say, I mean, good on her for you know sticking it out this long, because I guess she's kind of getting some justification now. Like she's like, yeah.
Validation. All right.
Yeah, validation. It's paid off apparently.
I watched her address her supporters after the polls closed. She can talk.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you've seen her on the debates, she's good at it. So yeah, I guess it's just her putting the hard work in actually paid off.
Yeah.
But basically what this meant is a bunch of candidates dropped out. I think the first one to announce dropping out was Andrew Yang.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, I guess, because I mean part of the neat thing about the primaries this year was the fact that there was kind of a diversity of people and ideas that were here. I mean, you had Yang with his like a guarantee. Andrew Yang pretty much single-handedly brought the idea of a guaranteed income into mainstream political discourse.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty significant for the United States.
And I think
that's
going to stay in the conversation even though he's out of the race.
Yeah and I actually don't think that this is going to be the last we see of him for this race. Oh, he's probably going to start campaigning. Yeah, well, that – and he's probably going to be campaigning for some other – for whoever the nominee is going to be.
That's true, too.
Michael Bennett dropped out.
Yeah, who nobody knows.
Yeah.
He's and, Colorado senator.
Yeah.
So he's going to go back to that.
Yeah. And then Devil Patrick also dropped out as well. So
– yeah, who I saw in polls got less than the write-in votes.
Yeah.
That's a good sign that you're done.
Yeah. strangely enough, Elizabeth Warren also managed finishing a lot lower than people expected.
Yeah, she was 9.2%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's New Hampshire, though, so bear that.
Yeah. On. We've had this, we've had the Iowa caucus, we've got the,
South Carolina?
Yeah, we got New Hampshire. We had New Hampshire this week. The South Carolina caucus happens.
And Nevada coming
up.
Yeah,
Nevada, that's also coming up. And it seems to be showing that sort of where the electorate is shifting now.
Yeah, we'll see more of a clear picture once we get to the states that have more diverse racial makeup to get a better picture.
Yeah.
So right now we went to the first two, or like two of the whitest states in the country.
Yeah, they're like it's the places where like mayonnaise is too spicy for those people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a joke SNL made. Is talking to Mayo Pete, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not that spicy."
Yeah.
But yeah, had some news about Iowa.
Yeah. So as everybody knows, the Iowa primary caucus was a complete shit show. Uh-huh. Like from beginning to end. Ultimately, it ended up with a really close and
contested.
In fact, they're actually re-canvassing it now as we speak. But basically, it ended up with Bernie getting the most votes, but Buttigieg managed to do it in such a way that he ended up getting most of the delegates, I guess.
It was very effectively a tie, though.
Yeah, it was basically a tie.
The margin of victory was negligible at best.
Yeah, which is different from what went down in New Hampshire, because the margin of error was much smaller, so we have a more definitive winner. But because of this, shit show, the head of the Iowa Democratic Party actually resigned.
Probably wise.
And maybe Tom Perez will follow him.
Hmm.
I hope. But yeah. For now, Iowa is effectively still a tie, and we probably won't get a definitive answer until the re-canvassing is done. And I wouldn't be surprised until, like, it's not until a couple weeks from now that we actually get a definitive answer to who won.
Yeah.
Because there was so much crap happening. That's basically where the damn presidential race is now. Bernie Sanders is, for now, apparently the front runner, even if by a margin. And
I think by delegates, Pete Buttigieg is ahead.
Yeah. Again, like we said, it's effectively tied for right now.
Yeah. So there's a difference between primaries and caucuses.
Yeah.
In a way that's like, why the fuck don't you people just pick something?
Something I found out recently, the Democratic Party has only started using the caucus system since like the early 70s.
Hmm.
And it's 2020 now. They might want to consider doing something different.
I'm looking at the list of primaries. These primaries, and you can see like Nevada's going to have caucuses, which is had a big issue in 2016.
Yeah,
that people got mad about. But let's see, North Dakota Firehouse Caucus is coming up on March 10th, which is I guess an election run by a political party, not a government, to select a party's candidates. It's like just a weird fucking thing. It's just fucking have people vote for the person they want.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the most delegates.
Yeah.
Shocking idea, I know. But yeah, like different states have just different rules on how they handle this. And it's like, okay, it just makes everything all confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, that's the news for the Dem presidential race so far. We definitely now have like a sort of an idea of who apparently is at the front of this now.
And it's not Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He left before Tuesday was over.
Yep.
For South Carolina.
Yeah. Because he was like, oh, crap, I need to get to work.
It's too many pony soldiers here.
Yeah. What John Wayne movie was that anyway? Seriously.
I don't know, but that...
I mean, it sounds like a John Wayne thing to say, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I was never a fan of
it. It might be a movie that is actually called Pony Soldier.
Yeah, it's possible. I was never really a fan of his movies anyway.
Hmm.
Be honest, any John Wayne movie that's actually good is usually good in spite of him. Now moving on from there to the rest of the stories for this week. First and foremost, the Department of Justice actually charged four members of the People's Liberation Army, that for those who don't know, that's China's military, for hacking Equifax.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what exactly would they be doing with Equifax?
Getting people's personal identification stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing it. It's Americans, apparently.
145 million Americans.
Yeah. Reason the question for, though, is why? I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, China's had like a group of hackers that have done hacking shit for a long time now. Is this just one of those things where them being in the Chinese military is more incidental?
No, I don't know.
I've read about this kind of thing, it's strictly information gathering. Usually when you do these kind of hacks, the records and stuff end up filtering back up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened with this.
Oh.
Which tells me that they're just looking to build up a very vast personnel database that they could potentially query and figure out trends against. Stuff like, you know...
Huh. People that would be sympathetic to them.
That, or...
Or potential influence.
Or potentially dangerous that they should keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Like, say, a certain other country that's to the north of them.
Yeah.
That keeps an eye on people of interest.
All right. Yeah, that's possible. I guess they are trying to build up something that could equal America's intelligence network, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
Basically.
Still doesn't make it sound any less sinister, but it does have some logic to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's totally sketch, but yeah, I could totally see why they would want to do it.
All right, next up. We're all kind of fans of Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Oh, right here.
Oh, right, you're right.
One more DOJ story.
Yeah, I completely skipped all this crap. I can't believe
the one
I did
decent
that.
Thing they did this week.
Yeah. However, Department of Justice has announced that they will not be charging former FBI Director Andrew McCabe.
Yeah.
And he's not happy about it.
No, basically, he was saying, you know, what took you so long?
Yeah.
To have this horrific black cloud that's been hanging over me and my family for almost the last 2 years, have that finally lifted is just unbelievable. It's a relief that I'm not sure I can really explain to you adequately.
Mm.
And yeah, basically he lost his pension, government pension, because he got fired the day before his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimate petty
They
move.
Specifically did that for that reason, yeah.
Yeah, and basically they found, like, there's no reason to charge him with anything.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, all right, you did this for nothing just to get vengeance because you... Did not like that he didn't shut down the Mueller investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, at least that's good. Yeah. The president was not happy about it, though, apparently. The
president's never happy about anything.
No, he's not, but apparently he was not told beforehand, so he basically flipped his lid. Which yep. isn't exactly something that, you know, he's not – it's something that's pretty easy for him, apparently.
Yeah. I think forward, you're going to need to pay attention to these flip-outs and the stuff that the rest of the departments in the administration are not telling him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of indicative of some people who are actually trying to do their job.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so next up, we've got some stories involving the coronavirus. Or
still
the,
got one more, Brandon.
Damn it, I keep missing this crap. Yeah, you know what it is? It's this right here. It's this...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it blocks out everything above it. But yeah, we also now have President Trump's 2020 budget request is. It don't look good. Like,
yeah,
at all.
So...
It's basically slashing all the stuff you don't want slashed.
And, yeah, like the one weird thing is that he's asking less for the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's able to pull that money from the Pentagon and other places.
Yep.
You know, we've seen how good the wall has been. Yeah. Fell over in California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they've been building in, like, Arizona on native land. Blowing up parts of it.
They've been dynamiting sacred land. It's true.
Ways it's like, your people really don't give a fuck.
No, they don't. In fact, they've signaled that they're going to start allowing the national parks to be open for oil drilling.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of supervillain shit that you expect.
Yeah.
This is how you become a third world country, folks.
Yeah, so also another part of this is plans to somehow get rid of the deficits is part of this proposal, even though there's no actual evidence that it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no financial expert, but usually if you're trying to get rid of a deficit, you want to spend less.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, that's because the deficit thing has been bullshit from the start.
Yeah.
It's a campaign thing that they use every year as sort of like this sort of like apocalyptic scenario where China will suddenly decide to start calling in all of their debt, which, by the way, they can't. Because macroeconomics don't work that way. But
yeah.
No. They don't know that.
No.
No, why would anybody in this administration know anything about that? They just read the crazy Chinese conspiracy books on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they set their foreign policy. Part of that is also somehow doing taxes. Cutting taxes again, which we know is not going to happen for normal people.
Yeah.
Let's see, they're going to try to lower drug prices, but
yeah,
how they go about it, they're not clear.
Good luck with that.
Let's see, entitlements is a big fight because to pay for the wall, guess what they're going to get rid of? Stuff like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Some to the tune of like $1 trillion over the course of the next 10 years.
Yep.
Which, you know, not great. That's why we need to get him out now.
Yeah.
Versus letting him actually do this stuff because it's going to make things worse for anybody that's getting up to that age to use that stuff.
Including his voters.
Yeah.
Including him.
He gets free government health care.
Yeah, he's president, so he gets free care for the rest of his life.
Yep. Let's see. He wants to impose new work requirements on many of these programs, limit certain benefits to families, you know, all that good stuff. Says he's not going to touch Social Security's retirement accounts. His budget does squeeze Social Security disability insurance by restricting access for recipients. You know, the sort of people that, really need
it. That would actually need it. Yeah, you're going to restrict them. Yeah.
That's always the good parts. The new budget carves out $1.4 trillion for reduced taxes. That doesn't seem like it's going to do anything. And it seems like this actually all kind of plays out into the Democrats' hands because they can just say, like, look at this shit that he's going to do, especially Bernie. Like, he wants to get rid of the majority of what Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid will do for you. Let's just make that all national full programs that you can get into without needing to be, 65 and whatnot. Solve that huge issue up front. Because putting money into defense, like we already do the most of any country.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to keep going up at huge rates. But Trump wants to, and then he's going to essentially stick his hand in the piggy bank and say, like, I need some money for this wall. That doesn't do anything. That sort of thing.
Yeah. So, wonderful. Well, okay, now finally I can get to what I was talking about before. All right, so yeah, we got a couple stories here about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is not being called the coronavirus anymore. It actually has an official name now, the NCP, novo coronavirus pneumonia or something like that. But let's be honest, everybody's going to call it coronavirus. So yeah.
Unless you're on YouTube, then you can't say it because you get demonetized for some reason.
Yeah. I think that's partly because there's this big conspiracy theory going around that the coronavirus is a part of biological warfare or something, which is bullshit, and that's not how science works, but whatever. Anyway, the death toll is now officially over 1,300 now. So 1,300.
Yeah. 1,383 right now, which as of earlier today, so...
Yeah,
all but three have died in mainland China, so three outside.
Yeah.
So and, they recently changed how they're diagnosing this stuff in China, so they've gotten a bunch more, especially a bunch of the doctors that have been working on it. So, yeah, still not great. Hopefully we can get things curbed by a certain point, but who knows where that's gonna, when that's going to happen.
Well, that's a good way to get to make sure you get a an antidote real quick is make sure the doctors get sick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently it and apparently it only took them a couple days to actually make a vaccine for this thing. So, we have to of course remind people that the common regular flu actually kills far more people every year.
Yeah.
Than this has. The reason this one is getting so much publicity is because, one, it's new, that we don't have any previous medication that can really work for, and two, it basically came out of nowhere in China.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the yellow peril shit hasn't really gone away now, has it?
No. Unfortunately, it hasn't.
No. Unfortunately, because of the virus, the Mobile World Congress has actually been canceled for this year. Because of the virus concerns.
Yeah, that and a number of Chinese companies would be attending. And they're probably not going to be – they didn't want to necessarily make the trip considering all the issues that would happen with foreign travel right now.
Even though, to be fair, like the attendance of Chinese percentage wise is actually only about 1% of the people that actually visit. But yeah, it does make sense to not just be careful right now.
Yeah, that and the number of companies have been pulling out.
Yeah. If you look at MWC right now, it's starting to go the way of E3. Because you're seeing like the bigger companies like Samsung and. Apple and all them stuff are doing their own stuff. So,
It hurts the smaller companies.
A lot.
This is like their big time to get their name out there and their products under a big light.
Yeah. I've actually been like reading up on this a little bit. It's canceled right now, but they're not ruling out the possibility of rescheduling it till later in the year. So,
okay.
It still might actually happen, but
But you know, then again, would it be financially worth it? I guess is the
no. If you're a smaller company that is looking for the exposure, yeah, it is.
All right. Yeah.
It's a matter of getting everything lined up for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got another Trump story. So one of the there's a legit White House photo, and it wasn't, for the record, it wasn't actually done by like an official White House photographer. It was taken by a guy who is basically like an amateur photographer who just does this because apparently he really likes Trump and he likes taking pictures of him.
Works for Getty?
Yeah.
Oh, Getty Images. Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I guess that day what happened was that, President Trump's famous spray-on tan that he always uses, apparently it might have been a bit of a rush job before he got off the plane or helicopter or whatever, because it kind of makes his head look like a ham that somebody stopped glazing halfway.
I saw a good joke because When do you put spaghetti into a Tupperware container?
Yeah.
The stain it leaves behind?
Yeah.
Because, it's not even going up to the hair or towards his ears.
It's not even getting up to his scalp. Mm. Like,
no.
So it's just an unfortunate looking image.
Yeah. It's like, it also just looks Photoshopped because it's like somebody was messing with the skin tone and couldn't get it matched up again. Then some people that are actually good at Photoshop decided to match the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And she's without the tan.
It looks they did. They used they put it in black and white, and it's like, no, this is authentic.
Yeah,
and it's just horrific.
Yeah, and
you don't even want him without the tan either.
No, it's like, well, personally, I just don't want to see him ever. So
no. But apparently he looks like a cadaver that someone brought back to life without the tan. It's not pretty.
And if you want to make him mad, you just show him that image. Because called it fake news, it's Photoshopped, all this, and it's like, no, it's not.
Hmm. No, it's you it's just legit. Forgot to spray for the required length of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, there's a bunch of good memes out there of, like, one did like a Looney Tunes thing of like, oh, somebody gave him a pie and it has TNT in it. That shows the next shot is his face looking like this. All this good stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a good way to troll him.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to.
Yeah. Speaking of trolling, specifically trolling himself, so we're all, I guess we've all seen Curb Your Enthusiasm at least once, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the great comedies of the 21st century. Absolute classic. And there is a clip in there where Larry David's, wearing a MAGA hat, and he's... to try and disguise himself. And President Trump actually went and put it on, I guess it was his Twitter.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is so awesome. They're praising me.
No, they're not.
He doesn't. And unfortunately, he didn't realize that he's supposed to be the butt of the joke in this one.
Yeah, he pinned it to his account for a while until somebody probably told him what was going on.
Yeah.
But also, it's a phone cam video version of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, like, the edges of the TV and all this. And also, it's him and his vehicle, and he's trying to change lanes and almost hits a dude on a bike who's just yelling fuck all the time. It's like, oh, hey, the President of the United States is sharing this video with tons of cursing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets confronted by the biker, and he puts on the MAGA hat. Because as he says later in the video, it's a great people repellent.
Mm-hmm.
Not wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also another video of him doing an interview recently, basically talking about, if he's worried about alienating people, he's like, no, I couldn't give a fuck. Go alienate yourself. All the stuff you want from somebody that's supposedly somehow supporting Trump, I guess, is what Trump's initial view of it was.
Mm-hmm.
All he sees is like, oh, there's the hats. This guy obviously loves me.
Now people are irony wearing those.
Oh, that is one irony I could do without. So context matters.
Yes.
Yes, it does. All right. Now we got to get out of U.S. politics and head over to Germany. So everybody knows the current prime minister of Germany is Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, for those you don't know, is the her particular party that she's a member of is the Christian Democratic Union. I don't think unless if you're an American, I don't think you know what like Christian democracy actually is, because it's not really a political force that exists over here. But basically what Christian Democrats are is they're basically conservatives who support a really strong welfare state. That's basically what a Christian Democrat is.
Okay.
And she was actually apparently planning on – apparently Angela Merkel had been making noise about the fact that she might be planning to step down at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this other person who was the current party head, Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, who is
– That's a very German name.
Yeah, it's very German. She was apparently going to be like, I guess you could – they use the term heir apparent, but basically it's just like if Angela Merkel decided to step down, this would be her replacement.
Right.
And then this week she actually decided to step down as the party's leader and not run for chancellor. And that is kind of big deal because – as far as like conservative politics in Germany goes, there's really only two major parties that are actually like that are in the German government right now that falls on the right. There's the Christian Democratic Union, and then there's the Alternative for Germany. The Alternative for Germany, also known as Alternative für Deutschland, AfD, are basically a party of just straight out and out neo-Nazis. Mm-hmm. Like they don't like they barely tried to hide it. And for the record, the AfD didn't start out that way. It started out as like a center right party that was mostly made up of like, you know, the intelligentsia and stuff. And then at some point someone figured out that a bunch of neo-Nazis could sneak in and give themselves some kind of credence, and it's worked.
Mm.
Because they've basically been the other part of the right-wing coalition with the Christian Democrats.
Hmm.
Which, yeah.
Good night.
Apparently, what also brought this on is the fact that a bunch of the rank and file in the Christian Democratic Union actually ignored orders from the upper echelons of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And which, I mean, that's basically a sign that your party is in flux.
A diplomatic way of putting it.
Yeah. And it basically also means that your party may not last that much longer, that it might end up getting dissolved.
Mm.
Because either that or there's a sort of a rebellion going on and they're getting ready to a faction of the Christian Democrats are getting ready to sort of make a power move and sort of get their faction into power. Hmm. Or something like that. According to the article, the announcement followed days of infighting within the party over the election of a governor in the state of Thuringia. The CDU legislators there voted with the far-right Alternative for Germany party last week to oust the left-wing incumbent. The CDU representatives not only defied Kramp-Karrenbauer's advance appeals and undermined her leadership, but they also broke what is widely regarded as a taboo in post-war German politics around cooperating with extremist parties. As Kramp-Karrenbauer herself said, the AfD stands against everything we as the CDU represent. Mm. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's another example of the center cannot hold.
No.
Yeah. So we're going to see where this goes, but it don't look good. We've had historical examples of shit like this happening in Germany before, and it never ends well.
Yeah. It's all fucked. That's
yeah.
What it boils down to.
By the way, for those of you who are wondering, it's like, okay, so how is it that you can have like an actual like neo-Nazi party in the German parliament? Well, here's the thing. There's a bunch. So, like, all the anti-Nazi laws that are on the books in Germany, they're kind of wide-ranging, and they're, like, kind of, like, wide vague with, like, a handful of, like, definitive characteristics sprinkled in there. And to be fair, they used to be a lot more hardcore about policing it. There's been a bunch of groups and organizations in the past that were basically just straight out shut out and banned because they were being a little too openly Nazi. Basically, what the AFD has managed to do is they've managed to give their work a veneer of respectability and yet somehow managed to give just the thinnest enough of boundaries between them and the open and out neo-Nazi on the street just so they can actually stay in power. And unfortunately, there's more than enough people who actually support their platform to actually have them a place in Germany's parliament. Yeah. So, yeah, that sucks. We'll see where that goes. So, next up, we got a bit from the Church of England who apologizes for the decades of racism they have committed in the past. And that's saying something, because...
That's a lot.
Yes, the Church of England was involved in some incredibly racist shit in the past. Yeah.
It's a hell of a thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
They apologized for the church's part in how the Windrush generation was treated.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the church has been in a hostile environment to those people.
Yeah. For those of you who want to know what the Windrush generation is, basically those are the people who immigrated from the Commonwealth Islands and what we call the Caribbean in the middle of the 20th century. And they immigrated to the UK and basically had to deal with some pretty appalling prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. Said he was ashamed of the history of their history of racism. So now when we look at our own church, that we are still deeply institutionally racist. I said it to the mm-hmm. College of Bishops a couple years ago, and it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
And the church must become a hospitable, welcoming one. Mm-hmm. Set basic rules we needed to address these issues. One example is include ethnic minorities on panels within the church. Members also unanimously voted to stamp out conscience or unconscious racism with great effort and urgency. Motion introduced by Reverend Andrew Melton Mumby.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all well and good to vote for it versus actually doing it.
it's about follow through now.
Yeah.
It's true. Mm. So, yeah. And for those of you who are wondering, why is it called Windrush Generation? It's because the first big ship that had the first group of immigrants on it from the Caribbean was called the Empire Windrush.
Mm.
So... that's where it got the name. All right, next up. Jussie Smollett has been indicted by a special prosecutor because apparently he's been charged with trying to fake a hate crime again.
Well, it's for the original one.
Oh, it's for the original? Okay.
Yeah.
That first time was an asshole thing to do. The second time is a cry for help.
They decided, I guess, after the last thing... after he got no charges last time around to sort of a special investigation
mm-hmm.
and all this time later still going through with it charge him. And it's like, really? You don't have anything better to do? Like, he definitely deserves punishment, but considering looking at other stuff we have on this list,
mm-hmm.
like, there's more important things.
Yeah.
Especially for Chicago to do.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like people there have grudges against him still.
Well, you got to do something, you know. You got to make sure the windows aren't busted out and trash on the street.
But yeah, mm-hmm. you can definitely see if you look at like a number of right-wing commentators, how they reacted to Roger Stone versus this.
Yeah.
There's a difference here.
Oh, yeah.
And you can
definitely see. And they're not even trying to hide it.
Nope. It's like, you don't care about the law.
Mm-mm.
You just care that somebody that you distrusted at first and were proven right that he was lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do that for everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now we got to make an example of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the chances he gets a longer sentence than, say, Roger Stone, who's done much worse damage to this country?
Mm-hmm. Highly likely.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this all shakes out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, so next up. There's a police officer in the state of California who is suing the president of the Toronto Raptors because he alleged that he was assaulted.
Yeah, so this happens in the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
When the Toronto Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors, he was going to the court, and this guy was one of the policemen that were acting as security to keep the wrong people off the court.
Mm-hmm.
But they also decided that this guy, his name is Masai Ujiri.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, but he wanted to get to the courts to celebrate with his team.
Yeah.
Was denied by this guy.
Yeah.
And I guess ultimately there was like a shoving match, but...
Yeah, because this dipshit didn't realize that this guy was a member of the team.
And that saying that he didn't have his credentials to prove it, and people have video of him like holding it.
Yeah.
For
the record, on the video, it's pretty clear that this was just a regular shoving match. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was. But the department was very much looking at the idea of charging him for assault or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, they eventually decided not to. But then I guess this specific deputy who's in an Alameda County sheriff, which is, I think, just north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He filed a lawsuit last week, U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California,
mm-hmm.
against Masai Ujiri. Said he was working security at Game 6 of the NBA Finals when he stopped Ujiri from going onto the court at the Raptors 1 against the Golden State Warriors. He said there had been prior security breach when an unauthorized person presented fake credentials to get onto the court. And so they were told not to let that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, said Ujiri had no visible credentials and not to let him in. Deputy said he told Ujiri to stop repeatedly, but was ignored, according to the lawsuit. Ujiri then attacked Strickland, hit him in the face and chest with both fists, setting Strickland stumbling backward. Suit also names the Raptors, the NBA, the team's ownership group, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Strickland is suing for assault, battery, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and negligence. I think part of the language in the lawsuit was saying he suffers from, quote, physical, mental, emotional, and economic injuries, including lost wages. And it's like, if you're a cop doing just basic security detail,
mm-hmm.
and you get fucking worked this much, you probably shouldn't be a cop.
Yeah.
It's not to make light of any potential injuries, but it seems like a basic shoving match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also he cites that, let's see, that he has a history of this stuff, which I don't think he does. I haven't seen any evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's a funny part where the lawsuit stated the adequate safety and security measures should have been put in place at the arena, and the defendants failed to, quote, post warning signs.
What like, warning sign were they supposed to post?
Anti-Masai Ujiri signs? I guess like the joke people are making, like, not really sure, but I guess he's seeking $75,000
mm-hmm.
For this suit. So it definitely seems like a cash grab.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Suit. That,
especially with an international suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically like $20, isn't it, Phil?
What's he suing for again?
$75,000.
$75,000? Yeah, that's about $100,000 Canadian.
But yeah, it's that seems like a baseless lawsuit.
Yeah.
Unless there's some video of this that nobody else had, but there's articles from around when it actually happened of people that were nearby. They're like, all that happened was they just kind of pushed each other.
Yeah.
There's nothing to the face, nothing like this. The cops are just lying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, that makes sense, especially when you realize that this exec is black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cops are probably white, mostly. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that seems like the typical way that goes with sports.
Mm-hmm.
Cobb that thinks he's the biggest shit in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Next up, we got some science news coming at you. Both NASA and ESA's Solar Orbiter has officially launched. So, yep.
And it launched on the 10th at Cape Canaveral. It's on the way towards the inner solar system. About an hour after liftoff, the spacecraft separated from the rocket's upper stage as planned, extended its solar arrays, and sent a signal back to Earth that it had power. So we got it working. Take about 2 years to get where it's supposed to be in orbit around the sun. And so, yeah.
Now we're going to get some solar data. Well, in 2 years, we'll start getting some solar data in here. Start understanding how long this sun has left to go. A few million years, at least.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Now we got this other really interesting science story. So the Chime Telescope in Canada, the scientists that are working there have discovered this really strange radio signal. They know it's not just like some fluke or anything because it basically repeats itself at 16-minute intervals like on the dot.
16 days.
Well, every 16 days, right.
Which is a hell of an interval to be like, oh yeah, today's the day we got to check for that. Shit.
Yeah. So that's just like, you know, what exactly is it that's making this signal? It's probably like a satellite, more than like, I would think.
Maybe, but yeah, it's a fast radio burst signal.
Mm-hmm.
They detected it in 2018, and yeah, they usually get hundreds of seemingly random one-off signals like this, but this is one of the few that have been found to repeat.
Yeah.
It's not only repeating, but some mechanism appears to be sending it out at regular intervals, according to a preprint version of the research paper. It's not been tested just yet, but it starts every 16.35 days.
Yeah.
It lasts for 4 days and then falls silent for 12 days before starting up again. The number of bursts within each 4-day blast varied each time, according to 409 days worth of data compiled by Chime. Yeah, so there's, I think there's some sort of mechanism for this periodic modulation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's not repeating at random. So the source might be flickering at regular intervals, or some other factor might be interrupting the signal blast in a consistent pattern.
Yeah. So that's why I said at the beginning, it's like, yeah, this is probably just a satellite or something. Yeah. The reason, and I say that because I don't want to get people's hopes up to say, we finally contact the ETs. No, that's probably not what it is. But it's definitely mysterious and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the name they kind of have for this is FRB180916.J0158+65. But they announced in last month that they traced the same signal back to a spiral galaxy some 500 million light years from Earth. That was the only second fast radio burst signal ever to be traced back to its source. And the closest known source point to Earth. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some weird stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, something, some natural phenomenon, or... Yeah.
Which, that is true. People don't know that there are actually some natural phenomena that give off radio waves.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, let's see what else we got here. T-Mobile and Sprint They just got the go-ahead from a federal judge to approve a $26 billion merger.
Yep.
That's a hell of a merger.
Yeah. And it's yet another example that we are slowly but surely going to be all controlled by a number of corporations you can count on one hand.
Well, you do have to realize that T-Mobile and Sprint individually are the two smallest carriers in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also suck.
Yeah.
Well, T-Mobile, they don't suck that much, but Sprint sucks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Though compared to, like, AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T.
Which,
nice.
AT&T is well known for sucking.
Yeah.
John Oliver makes sure to shit on them anytime that he can.
Yeah, and Verizon just is much, very well known for sucking huge amounts.
Seems like this new company would be called New T-Mobile.
Yeah.
However, that makes sense. there are a number of state attorneys general that are looking to essentially sue to stop this, arguing that, you know, the last thing that we need is to limit it to essentially three major corporations controlling the majority of the market share for phone services out here.
Yeah.
Especially when they divide themselves up into a number of markets.
Yeah. Except there would be four, because Charlie Ergen is supposedly getting into the business.
Yeah. Hmm. We'll have to see how that turns out. But, yeah. Good news for stockholders, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Because they shot up like 70% for Sprint owners.
Mm-hmm.
T-Mobile went up 12%. So, yeah. I guess good for those people that randomly have Sprint or T-Mobile stock.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be good for customers. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When do these major mergers ever go wrong, really? I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's not like that whole Time Warner AT&T thing had any problems at all.
Nope. Yeah, no problem at all.
All the great nobody Comcast ever stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And nobody ever complained about it ever, ever.
Ever, no.
All right. Next up. Wow, we got a lot of Canada stories this week. Recently, paleontologists found a new species of tyrannosaur, and they are giving it the name. Let's see what the name is.
It is Thanatotheristus.
Yeah, which translates to Reaper of Death.
Yeah.
Because these guys are all huge dorks.
Yeah.
It's Thanatotheristus de Gruyterum. Which combines the Greek word for Reaper of Death with the name of a southern Alberta couple, the De Groots, who happened upon the fossil fragment along the shore of the Bow River west of Medicine Hat, Altoona?
Medicine.
Alta.
Alberta.
Okay. Okay. In 2010, I guess, when they found this initially. Let's see. I'm trying to find what the specific details on this thing was. The new Tyrannosaur is not believed to have been a direct ancestor of T-Rex, but was its own evolutionary offshoot. Mm-hmm. It had more in common with the type of Tyrannosaur found in Alberta called Despletosaurus. So this thing looks pretty crazy in the artist rendering.
Yeah.
It walked on two legs, short arms, two fingers, massive skull with dagger-like teeth. That's sort of what you typically expect out of a Tyrannosaurus, and this is kind of like that.
Like a nastier version of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Figures the beast could have been about 8 meters long with an 80-centimeter skull. Pretty cool.
Big dino.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So now we got the entertainment portion of the show, and first and foremost, they are rebooting Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and yes, Rick Moranis will be returning for it.
Why? Yeah, which is big news.
Yeah, because he's basically been gone dark for like a decade now.
Yeah.
Yeah, since the mid-90s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where he, you know, just took his money and just focused on being a dad.
Yeah.
Because I guess his wife had passed away.
Yeah.
In an accident.
Yeah.
And so he decided, you know what, I think the only thing he's done since then is some voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
But he's appearing in the Martin Scorsese documentary, An Afternoon with SCTV. It's coming up on Netflix here in the near future, and working on this new movie that I think they're just calling Shrunk, which is weird, but I guess it's supposed to be a prequel. I don't know how.
Prequel with older actors. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Josh Gad is going to be on this, who is the son of Moranis' Wayne Szalinski.
Mm-hmm.
Is aspiring to be a great scientist like his father. That must not be an actual prequel. I thought I read it was a prequel.
Because, see, that's basically what the Honey, I Blew Up the Kid was.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sequel.
Yeah. But yeah, the he's aspiring to be a great scientist like his father, but accidentally shrinks the kids. So just doing the same thing.
I'm guessing Rick Moranis is going to be like playing the granddad or something, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, that won't be on Disney Plus. It'll be an actual theatrical movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is a sequel, okay, called Shrunk, which is still weird when all the other movies have that in the title.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. I guess the original director of the first movie is also going to be returning for this.
Oh, wow.
Joe Johnston.
I don't have high hopes.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he directed the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Okay. And
also did the riff tracks for that movie.
Yep.
Oh, God, he directed Jurassic Park 3.
Swings
and Jumanji. Yeah. Okay, it's bouncing back and forth. And The Rocketeer. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's...
Better stop. It's just it's a roller coaster. I'm telling you.
You don't, yeah. You have no idea what you're gonna get.
It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Okay, The Rocketeer. Oh,
yeah.
It's The Pagemaster, which I never saw, but
I saw.
Directed the live action parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jumanji. It's like okay, it's pretty good. October Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jurassic Park 3, and then Captain America. I did that Nutcracker movie a couple years ago.
Wait, the one with the Nazi mice people?
It's a live action one.
Yeah.
Disney one.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, it wasn't that one then.
It was 2 years ago.
I think that one was by a French guy. Yeah. Yeah, he has his ups and downs in his career as a filmmaker. That's definitely
true. Is he doing
a
Chronicles of Narnia movie?
Oh, they're bringing
that Silver back. Chair?
Oh. Yeah, well, they have to because they did the first two, and
they made three of them.
Oh, they made one after Prince Caspian.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, I had no idea.
Voyage of the
Dawn, and I guess nobody else did.
Yeah, apparently not. I did, but I'm an idiot.
Yeah, and speaking of old Disney properties that are getting the reboot. Emilio Estevez is actually returning to the Mighty Ducks.
Why?
I have no idea.
Because hockey needs another boost in popularity.
I think hockey. Well, this might not do it.
Yeah,
it's going to be on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-episode series.
Yeah.
For Disney Plus, and yeah, he's going to reprise his role as the team's coach.
Old now.
Yeah, the franchise creator is also in on this. Steve Brill. He's going to be executive. Estevez will be executive producer. Lauren Graham's going to be in it. Good Boys Breakout, Brady Noon. Julie Serta. And a bunch of youngsters from various stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So he's been essentially like coaching this team for three decades.
I think he took a break. Let's see. The series is set in present-day Minnesota, where the Mighty Ducks have evolved from scrappy underdogs to an ultra-competitive powerhouse youth hockey team. Your 12-year-old Evan is unceremoniously cut from the Ducks. He and his mom, Alex, set out to build their own ragtag team of misfits to challenge the cutthroat culture, competitive youth sports. And with the help of Gordon, they discover the joys of playing just for the love of the game.
Yeah.
So they start a new team that are not the Mighty Ducks.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't this franchise actually, like, start a legit hockey team?
Yeah. Anaheim.
Are they still around?
Yeah. They're still called the Ducks.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's about all we could go. Well, we got there.
I think they started up around the same time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It was probably like one of those things like, hey, you do this, you know, we're in Anaheim too. Let's, you know, partner up.
Well, Disney funneled like, a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then people will be mad you don't do the flying V.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of illegal. Just point that out by the offside.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Do you remember, I think it was it early last year or maybe it was 2018? It was last year. Yeah, okay. There was a news for this movie that was going to come out. It was called The Hunt.
It's the one that basically panned.
Yeah, it was basically about a group of quote-unquote deplorables that were supposed to be getting captured by elites and then hunted for sport.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, remember the point of that movie was that, you know, the deplorables, the guys that are called deplorables are supposed to be like the heroes. Because, you know, they're innocent people getting hunted for sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how morality is supposed to work in a sane society.
Right.
Yeah.
And fucking everybody got the wrong message from it.
Yep. Yeah, so the reason they decided they weren't going to put this out is because we had those shootings in Texas, California, and Ohio last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're going to be putting it out for real.
Yeah.
March 13th. I guess they put out a new trailer for those that want to see it. But yeah.
It reminds me of Battle Royale, kind of.
Yeah, it's basically another example of The Most Dangerous Game, which is a story that has been done and redone in basically every other medium that has ever existed ever since the 20th century.
Yeah.
So
it's also been done in film like many times already.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know why this was so.
Just because it's the internet and people on the internet are assholes.
Yeah.
Well, including you and me.
Yeah. Well, I also figured timing had something to do with it too.
Probably.
Fox News got in on the shitting of this movie.
Yeah.
As well, Trump tweeted, let's see, liberal Hollywood is racist at the highest level, not wrong, and with great anger and hate. They like to call themselves elite, but they are not elite. In fact, it is often the people they are so strongly opposed, that they so strongly oppose that are actually the elite. The movie coming out is made in order to inflame and cause chaos. They create their own violence and then try to blame others. They are the true racists and are very bad for our country.
Yeah, those were words. Yep. Those were definitely words.
Yeah, it seems like a speech where everybody's like, what?
that's basically what I said.
It sounds like a speech I think was in the movie where Jay and Silent Bob go to Hollywood, try and stop the movie being made on them.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you are the assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where he's making his, like, I am the click commander speech, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do
so, yeah, when you're the president of the country that is sounding like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, you've gone off the rails.
Yeah, especially since he's probably never seen Jay and Silent Bob.
No.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the new one to come out. They're still doing their tour, and they haven't put out in theaters yet.
All right. And now we got a couple of trailers for you guys. First, we got a teaser for the fourth season of Stranger Things.
Yep.
And
it basically
is a teaser about the major mystery at the end of last season.
Yeah.
They just say, yeah, this theory you've had, it's real.
It's probably wrong. Yes.
They say they just confirm it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what it is for people that haven't seen it yet or don't want to get spoiled or anything, but yeah. It's basically like, okay, now what else?
Mm. Well, I know a lot of people are going to be very happy that this is coming, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any sort of time frame for it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, they're busy over there.
They're just teasing.
Yeah. Usually Netflix doesn't, you know, start teasing a show that they haven't started shooting yet. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then next up, we got a trailer for the new Wes Anderson flick, which is The French Dispatch. So expect some long-winded dialogue and then a random French song.
Yeah. It's about the final issue of an American magazine published in a fictional 20th century French city. And the list of people in it is ridiculous. Benicio del Toro, Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, Lea Seydoux, Frances McDormand, Timothy Chalamet, Lena Kudrow, Jeffrey Wright, Matthew Amalric, Stephen Park, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson. And towards the end of the trailer, just show a huge list of names. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up here, but. I was like looking at the trailer. I was like, "Is that who I think it is?" And it's like, "Oh, yep, it's like Liev Schreiber, Elizabeth Moss, Edward Norton, Willem Dafoe, Angelica Houston, Henry Winkler, Rupert Friend, Jason Schwartzman." You know, there's like 10 more people on this list.
Because
I think there's a lot of just one-off bits in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want another Bill Murray movie, here it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Anderson movies. Well, there you go.
Got a lot of the typical cast he has in there.
Yeah. I'll give this a watch.
Yeah. It's at least less creepy than the weird wolf dog movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that art style is too weird for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next up, we've got a trailer for The Green Knight. And I'm going to take a wild guess and from what I'm seeing in the trailer that this has to do with the story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
Yep. It's an Arthurian legend movie.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Yep. And
Yep, directed by David Lowry, who did. Let's try to see what he did. Oh, he did the. Where's that director? There we go.
Mm-hmm.
He did the Pete's Dragon remake a few years ago. But he's also working on a Peter Pan remake, live-action remake for Disney, which is weird, but sure.
That's not, well, actually, I could see them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be better than Hook. Hook was a special movie.
Well, Hook was special. Kind of a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hook was kind of lightning in a bottle. Because it had a... very specific cast.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Robin Williams, obviously, and, that's not going to happen. But you also had, like, Dante Bosco and...
And Rufio!
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Doing like, a character that you never expect him to do.
Yeah. And doing it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hamming it up as much as you want him to do.
I mean, which is perfect what you do with Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Green Knight trailer, actually. Yeah.
Bob Hoskins being a weird character as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he played, Mario, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also he was Smee in this.
Mm.
Yeah. He actually didn't really remember much of the filming of the Mario Brothers movie.
No, because he was drunk most of the time.
Yep. All right. I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
All right. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or a comment or something you'd like for us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it for you in the show notes. And you know what? It's been a week, so how about we take a look at some spam?
Yeah, let's read a spam.
Let's see. A Mr. Ahmed Mata. And immediately when I open it up, I get a message from Gmail saying, this message seems dangerous.
That's the best kind of spam.
Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. I am! He has I am in all capitals. Mr. Ahmed Matar, before I introduce myself, I wish to inform you that this letter is not a hoax mail, and I urge you to treat it serious. This letter must come to you as a big surprise, but I believe it is only a day that people meet and become great friends and business partners.
Didn't we get this a couple of weeks ago?
We probably did. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if we got another one. Oh, yeah, here's one I've gotten. From an era shaik. Hi, we have reviewed your website. It is not ranking high on any of the search engines, parentheses Google, for most of the keywords related to your business. We help our customers to bring this website on first page of the search engine, all in bold. In a limited time frame, we can provide you first page Google rankings, all bold, within the 100 days. The following are the services we offering. Number one, digital marketing. Yeah. Digital marketing services, website design and development, app development. If you'd like to know more about this information, you're welcome to write back and feel free to ask for a proposal for a fee. No.
No, I'm not going to do that. Because if I search for SmashPad on Google, we're on the front page.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here's a good one. This is from a Reem E. Hashimi. That is so not a real name.
None of these are.
All right. Oh, this is a good one. Good day. My name is Reem E. Hashimi, the Emirates Minister of State and Managing Director of the United Arab Emirates, parentheses Dubai, World Expo 2020 Committee. I am writing you to manage my funds I received as final gratification from various foreign companies I assisted to receive participation slot in the upcoming Dubai World Expo 2020. Yeah, Coco, I agree. This seems shady. If you didn't hear him, he said, fuck that! The amount is $44,762,906 American United States dollars. Yes, it actually says American United States dollars.
Well, I'm glad to clarify that.
Yeah. The cumulative deposit were given an expression of appreciation from the various foreign companies whose applications received approval to participate in the incoming Dubai Expo 2020. I don't think a Dubai Expo 2020 actually exists,
or
for the record.
Person is even an actual person.
Yeah. But I could not receive the various gratifications to my personal account in my country because my social status as a married Muslim lady with limitations to certain investment opportunities. Didn't you say your name was Mr. Reem E. Hashimi earlier?
Nice catch.
Yeah. For this reason, an agreement was reached with a consulting firm to keep the funds in open beneficiary account with a financial institution where it will be possible to instruct transfer of the funds to a third-party account for investment purpose, which is the reason I am contacting you to receive and manage the funds as my investment partner. Wow, that could have used an extra period.
Yep.
The detail will be discussed on your indication of interest with your information and capacity to manage the fund. However, if you are not ready to take up responsibility in this partnership, please do not reply. While looking forward to good partnership, I am wishing you the best of the year. My regards, Mr. Reem Hashimi. Again, with the Mr.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is clearly like one of those Nigerian prince type scams. Yeah. And it looks like it was computer generated as well.
Obviously.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Hell of a...
I love reading shit like this because it's always so garbled and...
That was one of the better ones we've gotten. That's very dirty.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyway. Also, on top of that, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, that's not the only place we are. We're also at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, Archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And you guys are going to want to stay tuned because we're going to be having some very special guests show up on the show soon. It won't be this week. It probably won't be next week, but it will be very, very soon. So you will want to you know, keep your eye on us. Yep. We have a feeling you're going to like it. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Dinalvo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, say good night, sleep tight. South Carolina is next week. Dear God, help us all.